Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to the Austin and Berm Show. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. Austin is in Tennessee. He's at Dollywood or something today, so I'm solo, which is fine because as per the last 2 weeks, there's a lot of recruiting conversation and a lot of recruiting discussion to get into, and we're not going to waste any time. Late Wednesday night, Ohio State added a commitment number 17, from three-star offensive lineman Aaron Thomas, a pretty interesting offensive tackle prospect from Mountain Point High School in Phoenix, Arizona. His father, Eric Thomas, was a offensive lineman at the at Florida State University in the 90s. He was a part of the Seminoles team that ragdolled Ohio State in 1998. And it's an interesting recruitment. Ohio State got into it in March. They really ramped up things with an offer when Thomas and his family made their first trip to Columbus. I believe it was March 17th. No, it might have been a week later, March 28th or 29th, I think. And Tyler Bowen had a chance to go out and see Aaron Thomas in the spring at his high school. And it was at that moment that the Buckeyes decided this was more than just a developmental project type of offensive lineman. They thought they saw a player that could really be a high ceiling complement to Sam Greer, who is the in-state offensive tackle from Akron Hoban. The Buckeyes think that Sam Greer is a potential superstar. And there's been this underlying current of doubt or thought that the Buckeyes needed to go out and make sure that a player like Mansfield, Texas, five-star Felix Ojo was the opposite tackle, the bookend, if you will. And Aaron Thomas has been slowly climbing the charts as someone that the Buckeyes felt could be a not just a reasonable substitute if Ojo decides to stay home and go to Texas, which he very well may. He is still deciding between Ohio State and the Longhorns. But this is a situation that the Buckeyes couldn't pass up for a guy like Aaron Thomas. Whether or not Ojo picks the Longhorns or the Buckeyes, Aaron Thomas is a player Ohio State felt was worth the grab and went after him pretty hard. He made an official visit to campus the last weekend of May, first weekend of June. And it was then that Aaron Thomas really locked in his decision that Ohio State was for him, despite all of the conversation about Florida State. And in the last week or so, it's been primarily a conversation about Texas A&M and a lot of people believing that the Aggies were going to have the lead coming out of his official visit to Texas A&M this past weekend. What you're going to find here momentarily, I've got Aaron on the show. We're going to talk about his decision. It's interesting because he said that he actually called Ohio State as soon as he got home from his Texas A&M visit because he knew all along where he wanted to go, and the Buckeyes were the program that he wanted to be a part of. As a player, again, this is a high upside offensive tackle. I've heard some comparisons from sources I talked to Thayer Munford at Ohio State, who is now still in the NFL. Thayer was a seventh-round draft pick after bouncing around along the offensive line in his time at Ohio State, but battling through a lot of back injuries and other stuff that probably cost him two or three rounds in the draft. So if the Buckeyes are able to go out and find a player like Aaron Thomas, someone that they think has that mid-round NFL draft potential at this point, and it's not something that's going to be a bank breaker when it comes to the NIL, that is kind of the perfect fit for Ohio State. And one of the things that I felt was interesting in talking to Aaron is the conversation about his father and the impression that his father got on his visit to Ohio State and how the Buckeyes' professionalism and their willingness to tell the truth about how rigorous college football actually is and how difficult the sport is going to be and how hard the path to success is was part of the reason that Aaron and his family felt like Columbus was the right spot for him. So it's an interesting conversation, and I think people are going to like it. We'll get to that just momentarily. But as a player, again, the rankings are skewed. I want to be clear. He's the number 40 ranked offensive tackle in the country, the number 7 ranked player in the state of Arizona. He is 6'6". He is 305 pounds, he says. And what's interesting here is that he's played offensive tackle for 1 year. And that, so you look at the number, you look at the ranking, and you say to yourself, well, why is Ohio State prioritizing the 40th ranked offensive tackle in the country? And I want you to be patient if you can and understand that this is a player who's played 1 year at the spot in Arizona. It's not like he's in Georgia or California or Florida or even Ohio. where there is a lot of attention that goes into high school recruiting. Arizona is getting better without question, but it is not a state that really gets a ton of love when it comes to the recruiting rankings. ESPN.com does not have Aaron rated as a player in the state of Arizona as an offensive lineman or nationally. He is rated as a top five player in the country, top five player in Arizona, according to On3 Sports and according to Rivals, number eight, according to 247 Sports. So obviously, this is a rapidly rising recruit. Ohio State, Tyler Bowen reached out to him pretty much immediately after Bowen took the job from Justin Fry in February. And it didn't take long for the Buckeyes to make him a priority, and that's paid off. And this is why a lot of people, I think, have been clamoring for a wider net to be cast when it comes to the Buckeyes' offensive line recruiting over the last few years. Because at the time, in February and March, it didn't seem like Aaron Thomas and the interest, the visit, the offer was something that felt necessary, because the Buckeyes were at that point still able to look at all the offensive linemen around the country and make some decisions based on those guys. But as things started to unfold and Jackson Cantwell went to Miami for upwards of $2.5 million, and you've got other offensive linemen reportedly getting offered the same amount of money, the board shrinks. And if you don't have that pre-existing relationship established, if you haven't built the connection with a player and their family months earlier, it can be very difficult to get back into the race. It can be very difficult to earnestly look someone in the eye in June and say, hey, you were our guy all along, because people know if you're BSing them. And in this case, the sincerity with which Tyler Bowen recruited Aaron Thomas shone through. And that's why he's committed to Ohio State. That's why he's not going to his father's alma mater. That's why he's carving his own path from Arizona to Columbus. He's going to talk about that with me right now on the Austin and Berm Show. This is going to be a little bit shorter episode of the morning show, but it's okay, because no one just wants to hear me ramble on and on. So big win for Ohio State. Don't let the rankings fool you. This is one that matters to the Buckeyes. He's the fourth offensive lineman committed. He gives Tyler Bowen some flexibility with where they go from here. Buckeyes still, I think, would like to get to six in this class on the offensive line. Felix Ojo exists. That's a name that people should still pay attention to, even if this decision by Thomas makes it feel more likely that Ojo is going to stay home. There are other players out there that the Buckeyes can turn to. A guy like Deron Parks from Florida, who visited last week, is one I think that now actually has a better chance of being in this class for Ohio State, because while Thomas would be described as a project, he's probably 2 years away from being able to contribute at Ohio State. A player like Parks, who's maybe 3 or 4 years away, is now easier to take it, because he's offensive lineman number five if you want him, and you can build a class with the main four that you have. And then, and this is what I think, and we can dive into this on a future episode of recruiting or whatever, but I think that there is a few months ahead now for Ohio State to really push the envelope and push the dial to see if there's any chance that Adam Guthrie from Washington Courthouse, Ohio, Miami Trace High School, who's committed to Clemson, if there'd be any interest from Guthrie to end up staying home. Because the more I hear from people around the Ohio State football program about the offensive line priorities, the more it seems like there's actually become a real affinity for Adam Guthrie, his athleticism, and what he could potentially develop into. So obviously he's committed to Clemson. That's not going to be an easy flip. But again, what Aaron Thomas gives is the ability to say, hey, we've got our second tackle. Now we can try to maybe find a third. Maybe the third one is someone like Ojo. Maybe it's someone like Guthrie. Maybe it's another developmental guy. But either way, you have your elite player that you think you have recruited for a long time in Sam Greer, and now you add a really high upside, solid player with professional football genetics in Aaron Thomas. Let's get to me, Aaron Thomas, breaking down his commitment right now on the Austin and Berm Show. We'll see you on the other side. As mentioned, Aaron Thomas joins me now, Ohio State's latest commitment in the class of 2026, offensive lineman number four, the second from the state of Arizona. And I want to start right there if we can, Aaron, because I think it's interesting. You and I had spoken on Twitter a couple days before or after your official visit, and I was asking whether or not you and Tucker Smith had known each other yet, if you really knew each other. Tucker lives 20 minutes across the valley from you, and you guys don't know each other, and now you're both going to Ohio State from Phoenix. How's that possible?
I don't know. We just never – I never played them. I've never been, like, in that area. So, we just never met before. But we'll meet soon. So.
When this whole recruiting process got underway and really started to pick up for you, it started most – like, what, back in January or so after people saw your junior film. You've only been playing the offensive line for 1 year. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So now, 6 months later – you're committed to play for the national champions. Yeah. Is that insane to you when you think about it?
Yeah, it's kind of to put it in that perspective. But I mean, I've just been working hard and it paid off. So
let's just start with the most basic question: why Ohio State? You have options. You went on visits to Florida State, where your father played, Texas A&M. You went to Washington. You've seen a lot of places around the country. What was it about Columbus and Ohio State that made them the right fit for you?
I would say, first of all, I would say just the culture of having linemen just go to the NFL and the culture of winning games. Obviously, just won the national championship. Another key point for me, it would be the coaches, how I get along with Coach Bowen, Coach Johnson, just the whole staff, really. That visit was really good. The visit moved them up the board for me, I would say. I also like the school and how the players act outside of football.
I think it's interesting because there's a lot of people who follow recruiting that do this back and forth between when is the right time for a school to have an official visit. Ohio State was your first official visit, or at least in the month of June. You went to Washington before there, correct? Yeah. But when it came down to the schools that everyone sort of had circled for you, the Texas A&M, the Florida State, Ohio State, how did them being the first of those visits help Ohio State? How did it set the bar?
I would say because it sets the standard so high, just because everything they do at Ohio State, like the standard is high. So when you go to the other places, and the other places were good too, but you see how they compare it to the standard Ohio State has.
When after your official visit had wrapped up, I asked you what the one thing you were really trying to figure out on your visit was, and you said the fit. What did I fit in there? Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of how you and your parents knew that it was the right fit?
I would say when we took the visit, we had a lot of meetings. We had like 3 meetings with Coach Bowen probably at the visit. We talked about all the things we need to know, you know, depth chart, the offense playbook, how freshmen get adapted in when they first get on campus. And we met the strength staff and saw what their plan was for me. And just hanging around the players, obviously, on the unofficial or on the official visit, it really helped me get to know them. And it felt like home.
You know, when Tyler Bowen took the offensive line job at Ohio State in February, you were one of the first calls he made, and you became a priority for Ohio State pretty quick again, which is insane. They had just won the national championship like 12 days earlier, and here they are calling a player that has played offensive line for 1 year. Does that put into, or does that give Tyler Bowen and that relationship a leg up? Does it make you may like, hey man, this dude not only saw me right away, he came out in the spring to visit you and was like, wow, something's different here. And now you're going to be playing for him in the future. How important has that relationship been?
I would say that's probably one of the main things, because I was like one of the first people he contacted, obviously. And then we kept that connection. And then I went to watch a practice and saw how he really cared about the players that he just met, players that he literally just met. He was coaching them like he's been there. And then when he came out to practice and checked out, he came to school too. So when he came to those things and really got to talk to him more, our connection got stronger.
You had mentioned the NFL pedigree that is pretty common at Ohio State. And you have been working in Arizona with a former Ohio State lineman, Charles Bentley, who is – maybe, or at least in my opinion, I'm probably a little bit biased because I grew up an Ohio State fan. I don't deny it. He might be the best center of all time, in my opinion. But what people don't really know about LaCharles is, even though he is obviously a proud Ohio State alum, he does not push the Buckeyes on prospects that he works with. In fact, I've heard it's sometimes the opposite, that he says, hey, make sure you look at everything. Don't just assume that they're going to be the best at everything. What was his advice for you in this process, and how has he helped you elevate your game? Because I'm going to tell you what, I saw the photo of you when you were on campus in March standing next to Ryan Day, and then the photo of you in June standing next to Ryan Day, and you look like a totally different person. I'm not even sure how that's possible, but it looked like you gained like 85 pounds in 2 months.
Yeah, we really get after in there in the training. So he really helps my skill with the lifting part and the skills training. His main thing was through this recruiting process was he didn't push Ohio State at all. So he really just wanted me to explore everything, see all the options I had, and then just turned out the best option was Ohio State. But he's helped me mentally in the game too. Just things like IQ wise and tips and tricks for O linemen. So I'm really grateful to be able to go to him.
Yeah, LaCharles was not a highly ranked kid coming out of high school. There were a lot of people who were, obviously it was 25 years ago, people didn't spend as much time focusing on recruiting rankings and that sort of stuff as they do now. But as I look at your ranking, and this is I'm going to just put you on the spot, Aaron, okay, because that's what I do. You're ranked as the number 40th, the 40th ranked offensive tackle in the country. How does that motivate you? How does it make you think about this process? And is it just you saying, hey, I've only played this position for 6 months. That's pretty damn good for playing it for 6 months.
I would say, well, I've only been playing this position for a short time. So I feel like that ranking, it would be based off that mostly. But, I mean, I don't really look at rankings that much. I would be one of the best tackles in country. So,
your family's got some interesting background. As I said, your father played at Florida State. Your father played with Corbin Fordham's father at Florida State. Corbin Fordham, the Ohio State 2026 tight end commitment. When you told Corbin that you're coming to Ohio State, what was the reaction from him?
Oh, he was ready to go. Yeah, he was ready to go. He was ready to go.
Explain to me and to the people watching, listening, when you make the phone call to Ryan Day and Tyler Bowen, and it's coming off of your official visit to Texas A&M, and all of the social media buzz, the crystal balls, the RPMs, all of the predictions are saying Aaron Thomas is going to Texas A&M. Aaron Thomas is going to Texas A&M, and then you call them. Are they worried? How do they respond when you made that call to say, hey, actually, guys, I'm coming to Ohio State?
Oh, they were, man. Coach Bowen was fired up, man. He was so happy. I think all the coaches, I don't know if it came as a surprise. I would say he just wasn't expecting that call when I made it. So it was a fun moment.
How much time after official visits wrapped up did you and your parents need to say, hey, we're settled?
It was that day, the day I got back from the airplane. I got back from A&M, and then when I came to my house, I made the call.
What is the lasting impression of a visit like that then at Ohio State? It's been now 3.5 weeks since you were there. What is the piece of the puzzle that has carried that interest through? Because I know how these official visits go, man. Like, you are being told that you are the greatest thing to ever walk the planet every one of these trips. What made Ohio State different when it came to the way that they treated you?
I would actually say the that's one of the main things is they didn't treat anybody like they were just the best player in the world. I mean, they obviously show that they care about you and they love you, but they don't really like they're not into the stars type of thing. They're not trying to sell you something that's false. They tell you it's hard practice. It's going to be demanding. And just the people who are meant to be a Buckeye will be there. And I would say the visit, I mean, I want to go back. I'm excited to go back. So the visit was great.
I assume for your father, a guy who played high-level college football, won a national championship, I think, at Florida State, right? or beat Ohio State in the 98 Sugar Bowl, that team that was absolutely dominant. I assume hearing that and hearing the truth on a college campus like that really resonates with someone like your father, right? A guy who's played professional football, who had an opportunity to play professional ball. Like, that would seem to me to be something that he's been trying to probably tell you for years. Like, hey, this is actually really hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. So I think that's one thing he liked, because, you know, his team was like good wire to wire, like Ohio State and stuff. He actually saw a lot of resemblances. Like, this team is actually really good. It is actually going to be hard. It's not like, and I'm actually glad they didn't try to sell anything. Try to make it seem like it was sunshine and rainbows, but, you know, they'll get that trophy at the end of the season. So
I asked this to Sincere Johnson when he was on the show last week after his commitment. You were not a longtime Ohio State recruit, so maybe you have a different perspective on this than Sincere, who has visited Ohio State a dozen times and gotten to know Ryan Day over the last 2 years. But when you get a chance to sit down with a head coach who has been through as much as Ryan Day went through in the last 8 months after the Michigan game in November to win the national championship, people calling for him to be fired, people calling for his family to have to be run out of town, and now he's the national champion. Do you gain somewhat of an appreciation for a coach who has the toughness to deal with that sort of situation? And why is that important to a player who has never met him before March?
I would say that's very important. It shows character, because he, no matter what the criticism he got, he still stuck with Ohio State. And his saying is actually Ohio State versus everybody. So I would say that really showed how tough this program actually is. And then I remember when they won, I think it was Lathan Ransom. He was like, what they going to say now? And it just shows how tough the program is.
Another Arizona boy, Lathan Ransom, there in Tucson, or as I call it, Toledo, Arizona, as a Toledo, Ohio, when I think they're like the exact same city. You said you can't wait to get back to campus. Does your schedule align for you to be there for the season opener against Texas, or is that is that not the plan?
Yep, that's the exact game I'm going to.
That one will be crazy. Obviously, you've been committed to Ohio State now for about 10 hours publicly. How is the relationship with Sam Greer, with Maxwell Riley? Obviously, as we already talked about, you don't really know Tucker Smith very well. Have you started reaching out to these guys, and how important do you think it is moving forward for the offensive line group to gel and really form that camaraderie now?
I would say we're probably going to start to reach out. I'm going to start reaching out to them soon, just seeing what's up with them. I think I have their numbers saved on my phone, so I'll hit them up.
You're newer to the recruiting circus than a lot of guys are, because, as we said, a lot of this started basically in January for you. What did you learn from it, and what did you like the most, and what do you wish was different?
The one thing I learned from it is it's not about the pictures and the buffets and stuff like that. I would say The practice visits are, that's one of the main things that you should really go to, so you see how it really is when they actually have stuff to do, when they're actually coaching and players are practicing and going to school. I would say the best thing about it is really getting to meet new people and seeing how different coaches are and seeing like what style of school and team you want to play for.
We'll ask you one more weird question. Probably two or three more weird questions, because it's what I do. I don't want you to name names, Aaron. I just want to know, what was the weirdest thing any coach said to you in this process in the last few months?
Weirdest thing. Let me think. I'm trying to think. Man, that's a good question. The weirdest thing a coach said to me.
If it's going to give any hints as to who said it, I don't want you to say it. But I'm curious, like, how extreme have things gone with different coaches making different promises or whatever. Like, what is the thing that you're like, wow, I can't believe that someone would say that to try to get me to go to school?
I would say one school in one of the premier conferences said like, you're definitely going to start as a freshman here. And I was like, that's a little suspect because I don't know too many true freshman left tackles that start as freshmen. And I don't know.
Especially one that's played 8 games of high school at the position.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Do you have plans to early enroll? Where do things go from here for you? And how do you use this decision and this announcement as momentum to launch into your senior season?
Yeah, I'm going to early enroll, so I'll be graduating in December and going to school in January. I feel good about committing because now I can just focus on my senior season. This year I'm going to try to win Gatorade Player of the Year in Arizona. And yeah.
You're what, 6'6" or so? Are you over 300 pounds yet? Where are you at?
I'm like 305.
Have you had conversations with Mick Marotti about where they want you to be come December?
Yeah, they said they'll put some weight on.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. And I'm going to put it on the screen here for people to see it. The difference between you in March and you in June. Do you know how much weight did you gain? And maybe it's just perspective. Maybe it's just because the clothes you were wearing was different, but I'm telling you, you look like a totally different person in that 2.5 months.
From March to June, I probably gained, Probably like a five to 10.
That's it. Okay. Well then maybe it's the clothing. Maybe it's one you're wearing a sweatshirt, one you're wearing a t-shirt. I don't know.
Oh, you met like March last year?
No, March, this past March, you visited Ohio State and you took a picture with Ryan Day. And then you took a picture in June with him and it looks totally different.
Yeah. I probably gained like 10 pounds, probably 10.
Well, then it's just the Charles Bentley and that weight program changing the way it looks, I guess, because it's substantial. Yeah. Look, man, I could talk about all this random crap all day, and I appreciate you taking some time to celebrate your big decision with us on 97.1 The Fan, 10 TV, 10 TV Plus on the Austin and Berm Show. Congratulations on your decision. Sure. Welcome to Ohio State. We'll see you in August when you get back on campus.
Yes, sir.
That is Aaron Thomas. I'm Jeremy Birmingham. This has been The Beat with Austin and Berm. We'll talk to you Friday. Bye.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.